As we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, it's a blessing for us to have two baptisms. It's a great feast day for baptisms. And so we pray through the intercession of the Holy Family that there will be special graces upon Hannah, upon Aiden, and upon their families. You know, holiness begins with the grace of God. And so to have a holy family, it begins with the sacraments. And so on today's feast day, there's kind of two elements. The first is that we give honor to the Holy Family as we think about the virtues that they emulated and give us a great example of how to live a life of holiness. But this is also a feast day that we really, really need today, because family life is disintegrating in the society around us. You know, if we think that there's a shortage of vocations to the priesthood, there's a much worse shortage of vocations to marriage. The number of marriages across our country has plummeted. You know, if we look at Logan County, you know, there's some years where we don't have any Catholic weddings in the whole county. And it's usual for us to have one or two. You know, 40 years ago, there were 10 times that number of marriages in this area and across our country. And so the decline is incredible, and not, you know, that's not good for society as a whole. And so people, and a lot of young people, are not marrying at all, or they're cohabiting because they don't want the commitment of marriage. And we're also in a situation where we have very few children being born. You know, we do not have enough to sustain our population. Even we're in a population decline, and so today's feast day is a great opportunity for us to reflect upon what God's plan is for the family, and what that means for us. And so there's several things that we can learn from the Holy Family. And the first thing that we can learn, you know, as we look at the Holy Family, is the importance of centering our family life on God and upon the church. This right here, what we're doing, the church, needs to be the center of our family life. Not sports, not academics, not extracurricular activities. The church needs to be at the center of our family life. You know, all of the life and the goodness within our families, it comes from God. And, you know, that makes sense for a couple of different reasons. But, you know, one of the reasons why that makes sense is we can't build anything that's going to last apart from the God of the universe. You know, God is the source of all goodness and all life. So if we're trying to build something apart from God, it's going to collapse. It's built upon sand. If we want something that's going to last and that's going to flourish, it has to be built upon God. You know, we see in our gospel reading how the Holy Family was obedient to the Jewish laws. They were following the prescriptions of the law exactly. And we also see them dedicating their son, Jesus Christ, to the Lord. And that's an example for our families, that our children need to be dedicated to the Lord first and foremost. And the more fully we do that, the more fully we cooperate with the grace of God and center our lives on a healthy life of prayer and focus on the life of grace and the sacraments, the more our families are going to flourish. Now, a second thing that we can learn from the Holy Family is the importance of sacrifice. You know, we hear in the gospel that Simeon says to Mary that a sword is going to pierce her heart. And what happened at that point is it was revealed to the Blessed Virgin Mary all of the sufferings that she was going to endure. And she carried those with her throughout the rest of her life. She knew what was awaiting her son and the suffering that she would endure. And she accepted that. It's important for us to not shy away from sacrifice, but to be willing to embrace sacrifice. I came across a quote recently from Sister Mara Stella of the Sisters of Life. And she said, we live in a culture that's very individualistic and self-focused, but this isn't the path to happiness or fulfillment. And so in a marriage, husband and wife must give and sacrifice for the other. This is the mark of authentic love. We are created for relationships of love. And most young people, their vocation is to marriage. And so the happiness of most young people who are called to marriage is going to depend upon whether or not they're living a vocation of authentic love. And there's a lot of false paths that young people follow. You know, we're not going to find happiness through focusing on accumulating possessions. You know, happiness is not found through playing video games all day long. You know, happiness is not found by living in social media or in a kind of an imaginary world on the internet. That's not where happiness is found. You know, happiness is found in authentic relationships with other people, and especially the sacrament of marriage. So I encourage young people to look around and look at marriages that where the husband and wife have been faithful to each other and marriages that have flourished. You know, maybe it's your parents' or your grandparents' marriages. You'll find a peace and happiness in their lives that's worth sacrificing for. And, you know, that's not the fruit of self-indulgence. It's the fruit of sacrifice. You know, marriage is going to face struggles and tensions, and there's going to be arguments and difficulties. But when a couple perseveres through those, you know, as they learn deeper forgiveness and patience with each other, and if they learn to bear with one another, a deeper love is forged over time. And that relationship becomes deeper and richer and more beautiful. And when we look at people who have been married for long periods of time and have marriages that are flourishing, you know, the goodness that we see and the peace in their lives is the fruit of their sacrifice and commitment to each other. That's also the context in which God wills new life to come into this world. He wants new life to come into this world through the love, a relationship of love between a husband and wife. And again, being open to children requires tremendous sacrifice. But it's worth it because life is beautiful. And every gift of life that the Lord blesses a married couple with is a gift to their family and a gift to the church of immeasurable value. And so, you know, I encourage our young people to be willing to sacrifice in order to create something that's true and good and beautiful. You're not going to create something good and beautiful through selfish indulgence. It only comes through sacrifice. And marriage and the life that flows from that is something that's worth sacrificing for. The third thing that we can learn as we look at the Holy Family and reflect upon our readings today is the importance of fatherhood. You know, Saint Joseph was a good father. And one of the problems in family life today is that so many young people grow up without a father altogether, or maybe they have just not experienced the love of a father because their fathers might be emotionally or spiritually absent from the family. And so the advice I'd give to fathers is a good father is going to actively watch over the moral formation of his children. So a good father should be able to think about each one of his children and know the moral strengths and weaknesses of each child. And a father should have a plan to carefully and gently over time help each one of their children to grow in virtue. And so I encourage our fathers to ask themselves, are you doing that? Do you know the virtues and vices of each one of your children? And do you have a plan to help them grow? If you're doing that, chances are you're investing in your family, you're present to them, and you are being, by helping them grow in virtue, you're being a good father to them, and you'll be present to them. And your children will experience the love of a father. If you're not doing that, today's a great day to start. Don't wait. And even if your children are older, even if they're adults, it might be a little harder to do that. You don't have as much influence, but you can still invest time in your children. You can spend time with them, and you can give them advice and a good example to help them grow in virtue. And so as we celebrate the feast day of the Holy Family, we ask for their intercession. You know, we ask for their prayers that each one of our families may grow and flourish in accordance with God's plan. And we pray for all of our young people that are called to marriage, that they might discern carefully and recognize what marriage is in God's plan, and that they might seek a spouse who is going to help to create an environment of holiness within their families.